Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You got your Omi Inka live coming to you straight from my studio. I am your Empress. Yes, and I am your advisor. And I'm your Maliwa, too. So welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today. It's good to be back in the old Care to Read Room. So how's my family doing, and how are the children? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a seat. We are about to embark upon a new topic for the month of May. I've been away for a while, yes. I've been out for a while taking a sabbatical, that badly needed sabbatical. But it's great to be back in the caring arms of the Care to Read Room. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've noticed our new topic is welcoming you to a lifeline, a spiritual lifeline. Can I throw you a lifeline out? Are you in need of a sanctuary? Are you in need of a spiritual lifeline? Well, this evening we'll be talking about, is spirituality in substitution of education? Is it education which is what's troubling our children in the classroom, or is it because they lack spirituality? We'll be discussing that in full detail. And as you know, the old professor is putting her hat on, and she is challenging this subject. For those of you who would like to be a part of this conversation, you can participate by dialing those digits at 646-478-0270. Why don't you join us and be a part of this discussion? Because we are healing the youngest child in the family, and we are attempting to use our own medicine to heal ourselves. There's so many problems that we are beset under. However, we go everywhere looking but within. Today we're going to take a look at going within to the spiritual mind, body, and soul to heal what ails us. And right now, parents are looking into the schools for a solution, trying to find a way to educate their children. And all they want is an education. Well, you can get that easily, parents, at home. The real problem, which is troubling our children, is really spirituality. And if you don't send them to school with a spiritual disposition, the children's teeth are set on edge because their parents have eaten bitter grapes. And we're going to find out why. Why don't you go ahead and lock that down in, little G, and we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. So stay tuned. We'll be back in the atmosphere.
Well, Mother is the message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Spread throughout the world, we seem unsure about our heritage.
Welcome back, family. That's right. Umoja is the message. We've got to get the message to our brothers and sisters. And that's what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting the message to you about topics that need to be revisited, that we need to discuss amongst ourselves. And we're so glad you joined us this evening. And make your seat a permanent seat here in the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi Inka. I am your professor. I am your advocate. And I'm your Maliwa, too. And I'm here to bring you the bucket naked truth. I'm telling it just like it is, ladies and gentlemen. So why don't you join us for a drum roll as we get our libation together? Come on in. We are now ready to worship our ancestors. So we'd like you to be a part of that great ceremony. Joining the ancestors as we signed up. Thank you so very much for that drum roll. in our hearts that carry these rounds with us, because we know they're for medicinal purposes. And there's a healing balm in the beat of the drums. Didn't you hear, ladies and gentlemen? It will make you feel relieved. It will rejuvenate you. So we're going to carry the drums with us throughout this segment of the show. And I'll remind you to play your drums and let them beat, even though they cease from beating here in this class, so they can continue to beat in your heart. And that's what we're going to be talking about, healing ourselves, not just educating ourselves, but using a spiritual didactic to heal ourselves. You got the professor in the room today, and I'm telling it like a T.I. is. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're ready to go over to the talk and cure room. If you will stand with me as we put our hands in position to receive from our higher selves. I pour a libation today in the name of Oladulamare, the African god of this earth. We know him to be the only true and one and only God. However, we do have Ori that's on our head, and we'll be talking about Ori this week, talking about your personal God. As we acknowledge our higher self, ladies and gentlemen, I pour libation. I say libation, I say. I like to pour libation for my mother spirit, who is Yamenye, the woman, the lady in white, excuse me, in yellow, and I say Ashe. I like to pour libation for my father's spirit, and that is Obatala, the man that is the Orishas of all of the Orishas, the father. He is the man in white, and I honor him and greet him. Robert Jenkins, who represent Obatala, I say Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, you ought to do as I do as you greet your ancestors. We dobale our ancestors by getting lower on the ground with our knees bent before our ancestors. We also usually cleanse ourselves, and we make sure that we do not come before the throne of grace where we have not sanctified ourselves. This ground is considered holy now. It is sanctified. You have to sanctify a place in your home which you hollow out and call your sanctuary. That's right. We ought to learn to worship in our home first before we go trotting off to someone's church. We are the living temple. We are the living Episcopal, and we are the temple that we must clean and set right and get ready. So that's what we're about to do. Clean our temple and set our temples right, because we first must show ourselves worthy of participating in ceremony in our home. And that's what we're about to do. And ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for 1 minute, and we'll be back at you in 1 second. Hold tight.
The hottest shit smoking.
DJ Moon Dog, let's go. Let's go. The young nigga take over. Time for y'all to regroup. DJ Moon Dog, let's go.
Well, one of the wrong tapes we have on here, ladies and gentlemen. We won't be playing that one. However, we'd like to come back at you and say welcome back, family. We're so glad that you could join us today. We're so glad that you wanted to be a part of our room. We know that you could have selected any room to be a part of, but you chose ours to be a part of. And we want to thank you. And to all those Facebook friends out there, I say welcome back. And do join us. You could come in and actually lock the dial in at 646-478-0270. We're about to start our show, and our topic this month is talking about throwing you a spiritual lifeline. Do you need a lifeline? Now, we all need lifelines because we are going through some difficult times, and we are not able, we think, to seek out assistance or solutions through the traditional and normally Eurocentric way. Some of us refuse to go that way, and we prefer to go to our churches. For those of you who do not have a church home to go to, we're the temple today. That's right. Welcome to the spiritual temple. I'll be throwing you a spiritual lifeline. And this will be the temple for the duration of this month. This is Spiritual Lifeline Temple. And you can sit up here. We're just like a pillow station. You can sit up here and get yourself ready so you can go out and meet the world. Because every day you meet the world, it becomes a little bit more crueler, and it beats up on us more and more each day. But we have to set up a defense mechanism so that we can defend ourselves. And the way we do that is we become more spiritual, because we know the spiritual is eternal. It never stops. It's like the energy battery. It is eternal, and it is foreverlasting, where the natural thing is temporal. We're looking for something spiritual today. Our children are in these schoolhouses, and we place them there. And some of us are even placing children in schools now where we're paying a fee for it. Well, we do want to return on our money. We want to make sure that our children are learning. And we oftentimes want to know that they're academically ready. So we go in with measuring tools to see if our children measure up to all of the other children in the diaspora. And when we find that they're not, and we find that they're children that need to have issues that are addressed at home, we have to then start looking at where is our sanctuary, and do we have to be in church in order to rehabilitate our children? No, you don't. You are the living Episcopal, and you are the temple. So you must possess your sanctuary wherever you are. The temple has to first be clean. So we have to know that we're filling our bodies and our mental capacity with spiritual wares and material. So we're talking about education. What is going on in these classrooms? And why do so many children feel spiritually bankrupt? They cannot think for themselves, express for themselves, and they feel helpless in the classroom because nobody wants to hear what they have to say. Well, when they come to us, we think empty. We think we ought to be filling them up like a test tube. Well, I want to correct you, my friend. Children come to you equipped and already spiritually ready to learn. They do come to school with a bit of knowledge that they bring. We do not need to just overpower that child. Why don't we wait to see what the child has to offer? Because we would be amazed at some of the things that they can tell us and help to educate us on. But they're coming in our classroom, and we're continuing to help spiritually bankrupt the child. So you say, Omi, how do I know that the child is spiritual? What do I need to observe for to see that the child has anything to offer? Every child that comes into the classroom is already wired and hardwired to learn through everything you have in the classroom. All you need to do as a good teacher is set up a good environment, and that child will tap into it by nature, by his spiritual nature. Now I'm going to throw you in a spiritual lifeline right now, because children are coming here already spiritually attached because they're recycling their ancestors. They've already been wired for spiritual alignment, and they're already set up for that. But we're killing off the spirit. We're killing off the spirit with so much of this junk curriculum that we are perpetuating and passing on as literature and information that our children don't want to hear it, so they turn a deaf ear to us, and they turn their back on education, we think. And then we're just shocked with a jaundiced eye. Oh, no, they didn't. They better come and get this education because we need us some education. Well, sometimes you need to think, what type of education are you receiving? Sometimes the Eurocentric curriculum doesn't fit the need of the African child, and it has no place in their life, and they'll reject it. Yes, they will. But, mother, don't you come in there in the classroom ready to jump on that child because he refuses the education. Try talking to the child. Try asking the child, what is it that he has interest in? Try finding out what aspect of that education does he not want. And try finding out from the child's point of view, what is the best part of his education? Well, Amos Wilson said, education was not necessarily created for the African. Now, I want to say this. education wasn't created for the African, should the African child be locked away into these institutions which further institutionalize them? Or should they be brought up in an environment, in the natural environment, that would seek to advance that child's genius and ability? That's right, we have geniuses, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you ever forget it. Our children come to us. If they are not damaged with the mind of a genius, how do you cultivate that mind, you ask Omi? How do you take that mind and cultivate it? Well, you must do that at home, parents. Now, can I talk to you up front, personal and close? I'm talking to every parent out there in the atmosphere, too. Please come close to the radio, or even yet, come into our room. We invite you into our room. And I'd like to tell you this, that the job that you are attempting to do has already been done. Our children come to us equipped and ready spiritually. But you have got to do some work at home. You cannot expect for the school to spiritually prepare your child. That is your job, mothers and fathers. And if you're not married and you are separated, then do co-parenting. Both of you take turns in rearing that child because you're both responsible. He needs a mother and a father. And mother, don't you go saying, I don't need no man. I can raise this child by myself. I want you to know something, mother. Only iron can sharpen iron. You might be able to carry through for a small period of time, but there will come a time when that child reaches a certain age that there's no more that you can do for him, mother, than love your son and raise your daughter. But I want you to learn to allow your ex-husband or your ex-significant other help to raise that male child, because it takes a certain type of training to bring up a man in the way that he should go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to get up front and personal with you. Our African homes are falling apart, and that includes mine as well. We've got to do work. We've got to do work. If your man is not home anymore with you and you're still raising your sons and daughters, keep that man in your life, because there's a portion of that child's life where you cannot raise that child by yourself. You're going to have to seek that significant other and that ex-spouse to play a part in that child's life. He loves you both, mother and father, and they both should be in his life. It's very, very vital that we cultivate and nurture the spirit of a child. You don't grieve the spirit of a child. Then you send the child to school lacking. Then he goes to school, he rebels against school, and you think he's an unlearned child. But the child's spirit has been broken, and parents, sometimes we are the cause of it, because the parents have eaten bitter grapes, the children's teeth are set on edge. That's right, they're watching what you do, not what you say. A mouth will say anything, but they're watching what you do, mothers and fathers, and they're watching whether or not you get along in society and whether or not you could compromise, because if you can't, they will have a communication problem as well. Excuse me. And I want you to understand the spirit of a child is the most important thing that you will be responsible for cultivating. I didn't say create the spiritual mind. I say cultivating, because God gives each and every one of us a measure of faith. He gives each and every one of us a measure of faith. And we all come here with the desire to fulfill something on this earth. On the other side, we kneel down before the Creator and we ask if we could come here to do a special job. And that includes that child of yours. He requested or she requested to be here to fulfill only the job that they can fulfill. Now, what about their spirit? How do you cultivate the spirit, you say, Omi? Do we take the child to church and do we drop them off at the door and leave them? or how do we cultivate the spirit of a child? It has nothing to do with that church house. You are the living epistle, and you're the temple. You must put a fear of God in your child, they say. But I don't agree with that. God is that child's friend. Why would he be fearing someone that he loves? He has to have adoration and respect, but not fear God, because God is his friend, and Jesus is his eldest brother. You must tell him that God and Jesus are kin to us. Even though God knows no next of kin, he created himself from himself. You must connect that child to God so that the child and God develop a relationship, and he periodically goes to him for conversation and for encouragement and soothing. So he knows that he can find relief in the bosom and in the arms of God. And I didn't just say Jesus, because we've got this thing so confused. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. See, we have no relationship with God, and we are trying to have a relationship with God through Jesus, and we keep looking to Jesus and forgetting about God. Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus wants you to look towards God. He said that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He didn't say, I am the Father. He said, the things that I do through the Father. He was not telling you to look to him alone. He wants you to set your eyes on God. Now, we've got to cultivate our child's spirit by developing or helping that child to develop a relationship with God. When you hide the words in their heart when they're young, when they get older, they will not deter from it. They will draw from it in the end time. So, people, I want you to know one thing. Children are coming in the classroom broken, and they've been way, way past broken before they come into the school. And when we get them, literally, sometimes we're dealing with a dead corpse. They're spiritually dead. How does a child become spiritually dead before he's ever introduced to God Almighty? Because we're introducing the wrong God to him. Fear God, young man, and live. Oh, Jesus and God are one. We are confusing the poor child. He doesn't know whether to bow down to Jesus or bow down to God. God said that he would have no man before him. Teach that young man to love God with all his heart and soul, and himself the same way, and then his neighbor. And put Jesus in his proper perspective, and teach Jesus that Jesus is his eldest brother, and that he will become a door to enter into God's life. But we have got to make that child understand that he's not out here alone, and the whole government and the world is not up on his shoulders, but he has a God that he can appeal to when things are difficult. And let him know that he can sit down and have counsel with God. And he can command God, because the word says so. It says to command you me. He says to ask what you will, and if his word be in you, you can ask what you will. Teach him the powers and the words to be in those scriptures, parent. Sometimes we go and miseducate the child, even through the Bible. So the child has no use for the Bible. He's fearing using the Bible. He doesn't know how to use it as an ammunition. He doesn't know how to use it to fight back against the oppositions in the world. But in the classroom, they're in a war zone. So they have to come equipped spiritually. And you have got to get that child ready. You cannot be sending a child to school unarmed. He is fighting a war battle when he comes to school. There are so many oppositions he's up against, parents. But you think that's a safe haven. You think it's okay to release your child into the zone area of the school. But you haven't a clue at the demons that beset themselves that are waiting for that child when he comes in. I want to show you how to pull down those strongholds that beset themselves against you and your child in the classroom. Pray over that child before he goes to school. Pray over him and pray with him and pray for him, because the prayers of a righteous man or woman will avail much. And I didn't say the prayers of anyone. I said the prayers of a righteous man or woman. Tell the child the truth. Tell them that the Bible is incomplete and that it is a biblio and it is a book and books do err. Tell him that there are many paths to get to Jesus, not just one. Tell them there's many paths to get to God, and not just one, because he must learn to respect all the prophets. Tell them that there are many religions, and Jesus was just one man sent to the Hebrews. He was not sent to the whole world. Why, Jesus would be schizophrenic if he was trying to service the whole world, and that we can document. He was not here sent to service the whole world, and we must get that clear, because so many things that are not normal that we're teaching young people, that they don't want anything to do with religious because it becomes schizophrenic to them. They need to be consistent. They need to know what is real can happen. They don't need fictitious information that you're giving them, fairy tales, so they go out into a war zone area trying to solve a problem with fairy tale stories from the Bible, and it doesn't work. It won't work, parents. You got to give them something stronger than that. And don't go telling them, oh, you can be a Christian. You can be a Christian. Just stand up, and God will be there. Be a Christian, and God will fight your battles. God said if you take one step, he'll take two. But he did not say that he will fight your battles alone. You're going to have to equip that young child to know that he can command a thing because God lives within inside of him, and that God cooperatively fights with him on one accord because they cooperatively live together within his being. Tell him that God is always with him. That is why he can't ever leave him. And don't start teaching him about a spook God in the sky that's going to return here to collect all his children. And tell him that God resides on the inside of him, so he must keep his temple clean so that God can dwell there. Tell him that is the house that God lives in, the one he built for him. And his ori is personally a place where God resides. So God is always taking up residency with him as long as he keeps the temple clean. Tell him it's very vital that he not put things in his body that will harm him or harm the God that resides in him. Excuse me. We've got to stop telling fairy tales to our children. And we've got to start telling them the truth if we truly want them to be able to fight off the war zones in the classroom. Why are so many children dropping out? Why are they turning away from education? Because it's not safe there. I know it's not. Now the signs are on the wall because gun shootouts are everywhere in our schools, and we wonder even if the teacher is safe. Well, if we weren't perpetuating all of these things in the school, the devil wouldn't be showing up in our classroom. But we're perpetuating everything like a secular person, so now the devil's at our door. Now, wouldn't you believe it? Pretty soon it won't even be safe to send your child to school. You will find that most of you parents will be educating your child from your very own couches and your homes. They will not be going into these classrooms for fear of what's damaged that might be put upon them. Well, parents, we can solve that. We can solve that through making our child a spiritual warrior and teaching him spiritual warfare and giving him scriptures that he can use to fight off those demons and teaching him to be able to identify what is not spiritual and what is temporary. Teaching that child to be able to go and get the mind and the ear of the king and speak to God as a friend, not as someone who fears God. We've got to stop lying to our children and then expecting them to have the fortitude to go up in these war zone areas and make it through and graduate. It's just by the grace of God that they come out unmolested and come out alive. Because sometimes school does more damage to the child than what they would get from the secular world. Let's think, parents, how is it that our communities are unsafe, but yet we think our schools are safe? We've got to go in and preach the unadulterated truth to principals and teachers, and we've got to lay a foundation and living a life that has character and moral support for those schools. But we certainly don't give our child our best asset over to the school to further maltreat. Now, we can heal our children's wounds, and we're responsible for our children's spirituality and not the school. We must do our work at home, and we must understand that the school is there to support us in what we do. But we are not the temple that rears your child. We cannot take the full responsibility, and we will not. That child will soon realize he's on his own. He will then drop out of school. Some children have dropped out long before they ever come to school. So I want to tell you this much. We want to keep our children in school, educating with good programs and curriculum. We must show up at these schoolhouses, and we must demand that our children be a part of a culturally enrichment curriculum and also be a part of something that has character and ethics. And we must be ethical at the same time. I want to thank you so much for being a part of this segment of the show. And you've been listening to Mrs. Maddie Harvey's baby sister, and I thank you so much. And don't forget about Umoja. We'll be on now on, excuse me, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and Saturdays, 4 days a week. And our time is 10 o'clock p.m. So please meet us at the point of your need. I'll throw you out a lifeline, a spiritual lifeline, so you won't sink. So if you're in need of a spiritual sanctuary, you can find that right here. Stay tuned. We'll be back at you on tomorrow. Odama.
Umoja is a message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters. One mind through a vision of our future.
the message. My